you know, a lot of times I'll get calls and questions about setting up an IRA, setting up a 401k. And initially when somebody calls me, they don't necessarily know that my company, PGI Self-Directed, establishes both IRAs and 401ks. But I'm heavily biased towards the 401k, and specifically when we're talking about Roth dollars. Somebody might say, initially call me and say, I want to set up a Roth IRA. Well, I'm going to dig a little bit deeper, and I'm going to say, for example, tell me a little bit about yourself. You know, what's your age? You know, are you a W-2? Are you retired? Are you self-employed? If they tell me at all that they have a self-employment business that they could qualify for a 401k, I'm always going to suggest that they strongly consider a Roth 401k versus a Roth IRA. The reasons are many, but simple. First of all, your contribution limits just for you putting in contributions are almost triple. Triple! I mean, why would you want to have $5,500 or $6,500 with an IRA, whether you're under or over the age of 50, when you can potentially do $17,500 if you're under 50 or $23,000 if you're over the age of 50 with a Roth 401k? Plus, with the Roth 401k, all your contributions that you personally make based on your income can be Roth. $23,000 if you're over the 50, if you're over age 50, or $17,500 if you're under age 50, blows the crap out of a Roth IRA. But then we get into some of the sub-issues. To me, the contribution limits alone should be the reason. But then, what if you want to take a loan from your IRA? Can't do it. IRAs. No IRAs has a loan provision. There's hardship provisions, but no loan provisions. With a 401k, even with a Roth 401k, you can take out loans. You just have to follow the IRS's terms for repayment, which real quickly is 5 years, at least a quarterly return of amortized principal and interest, and a legitimate interest rate. Number three is anytime you set up an IRA, self-directed or not, but now we're talking about self-directed Roth IRAs versus self-directed Roth 401ks, you have to have a custodian in place. An IRA custodian is always going to charge fees. They don't do work for free, nor should they. So when you have that Roth IRA, one of the things you need to keep in mind is, how much am I also paying in fees just to have the Roth IRA? In contrast, a Roth 401k can be set up where you are the legal trustee of your legitimate business. Simple language is, you don't need to have that custodian. You don't need to have that custodian fee. Then we can even go a little bit deeper, and we can say things about prohibited transactions. A lot of times when people call me, they don't even necessarily know what prohibited transactions mean. And for today, I'm just going to keep it simple. But if the prohibited transactions, if you equate that into what things does the IRS specifically say that I cannot do with my retirement funds, like I said, we're going to keep it simple for right now. But if you have a prohibited transaction with your IRA, God be with you. It's full distribution. It's full taxation. It could be a simple, small mistake. But if it's a prohibited transaction, your entire account gets distributed, which means your entire account gets taxed. On top of that, if you're under 59 and a half, you have a 10% excise tax on top of it. With the 401k, the rules aren't nearly as stringent. Now, somebody could say, hey, if I have a Roth IRA, if I have a prohibited transaction, well, they can't really tax me because it's already Roth monies. And to a certain degree, that's true. But there's other penalties in place that you don't want to experience, even with a Roth IRA. And then finally, if you're self-directing, a Roth IRA is typically going to cost you more from a fee standpoint over a period of time than a 401k ever will. So bottom line is, if you qualify for that 401k, go the 401k route, because you can still do Roth and you can do it to a heck of a higher limit than you'll ever be able to do with your Roth IRA. Many times I'll get a question where somebody will say, hey, I'm doing a lot of research on self-directed companies, and what I kind of think I'm understanding is I can either kind of go the route of having a self-directed custodian that kind of holds the checkbook, or I can kind of go the route of having a self-directed custodian that will allow me to control my IRA checkbook. Can you explain the difference? Let's do a 50,000-foot level. Because first of all, without regurgitating code going back to 1974 with the creation of ERISA, just keep the simple fact in mind. When you have an IRA, Roth, traditional, it doesn't matter, but we're talking about Roth IRAs right now. You have to have a custodian. That is a requirement of all IRAs. Now it's just a matter, when we talk about self-direction, whether or not the custodian is going to control that checkbook and not let you have it, or give you control of that checkbook. So neither business model is necessarily wrong, but what you want to think about is looking at it from a fee standpoint and a comfort level standpoint. Most clients that I work with, by the time they call me, they want that checkbook control of the funds. They don't want to give it away to somebody else. Now, that's a personal choice that somebody has to make. But if a person takes the personal choice of going to a custodian that controls the checkbook, typically what they're going to find is they're going to have a fairly excessive fee schedule for the custodian doing nothing more than writing checks and sending checks out and receiving checks on their behalf. Now, here's a great consideration. If that custodian's business model was to guarantee that you never and your IRA never entered into a prohibited transaction and did anything wrong, and they were going to guarantee that as the custodian, that's probably a great business model. But the fact of the matter is, they don't, nor should they. It is your self-directed IRA. They're merely serving as the custodian. So if you end up, unfortunately, having a prohibited transaction within your IRA, even if they control the checkbook, they're not legally responsible. You are. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because now, if you want that checkbook control, most people will look at it as, well, I'm not planning on breaking a rule. I don't want to break a rule. I'm going to try to do everything I can not to break a rule. But if I break a rule and I control that checkbook for the account myself, I'm going to have the exact same penalties, no more, no less, than the IRA that's held with the custodian where they control the checkbook and they're charging excessive fees. So again, personal choice. It doesn't mean that one's right, one's wrong. It's just that most of the time when I'm working with folks, they're going to opt for the option of controlling that checkbook themselves and making sure that they follow IRS rules. Then, as far as assets go, people will ask, if I have checkbook control of my funds within an IRA, a Roth IRA custodian account, but I control a checkbook, or even if it's with a IRA custodian where they don't control their own checkbook, can they invest in things like real estate, discounted notes, etc.? Of course. Remember one simple thing and one simple thing only. As it relates to assets, now there's different prohibited transactions, but as it relates to specifically assets, the IRS says that an IRA can only not invest into two asset classes, life insurance contracts and collectibles. Collectibles being defined under the code, and you know, I always tell people just go to the code to see exactly what kind of things are listed as examples of collectibles. But you know, if you have a fine wine collection, if you have artwork, if you have antique cars, if you have rug work, those are the kind of things that are called collectibles. But if you do not invest in collectibles and you're not investing into a life insurance contract, any other asset class is permitted under the code.